groundbreaking diagnostic test under development at the Bionics Institute in Melbourne could pave the way for new treatments for Australians suffering from tinnitus. Tinnitus is the perception of sounds without an external source. It affects 1 in 10 people. To talk to me about this afternoon, we welcome Dr. Manaz Shastarian. Hello, Doctor. How are you?
Good afternoon.
Thank you for your time this afternoon. I really appreciate it. 1 in 10 globally are affected by tinnitus. 20% of those affected report severe tinnitus, and there is currently, as we know, no treatment. Now, tell me about this development that's happening at the Bionics Institute in Melbourne, please, Doctor.
Thank you. Yes, that's right. Unfortunately, there is no reliable treatment at the moment for tinnitus, and what we're working on is a way of objectively measuring tinnitus presence and severity. And by objective, I mean a test that would not need input from the person themselves, because at the moment, clinicians can only rely on what the person can tell them about their tinnitus, right, and that's not always enough to base treatments on.
So what you're working on at the moment is a test whereby I, for example, suffer from tinnitus, and so does my wife. And so do many, many, many people that I know listen to this station, because when we talk about tinnitus, people ring up and ask questions about it all the time. So if I was to go and have a test for tinnitus at the moment, I have to take part and be part of that test. What you're working on is something whereby I'll be there, obviously, but you'll be able to come back and tell me without my input as to the severity of the tinnitus that I suffer.
That's correct. That's our aim, yes. So we're using a non-invasive brain imaging technique. It's called functional near-infrared spectroscopy, and it uses light to measure changes in blood oxygen levels from which we infer brain activity. So there are many other brain imaging techniques that are used to do research on tinnitus, but the technique that we're using has better potential to be translated to clinical use. Because it's non-invasive, it's cheaper than other techniques, and if anyone's ever had an MRI scan, they'll know there's a scanner noise associated with it, which makes it quite unsuitable for hearing research, and the technique that we're using doesn't have that scanner noise. So it has a number of advantages, which we think will make it more likely to be translated to clinical use.
So you be able to distinguish between mild and severe tinnitus, you say, with 87% accuracy. Will that affect, I'm going to say, will that affect the treatment? But I know there's no real treatment for tinnitus at the moment, is there?
That's right. There is no, so there are treatments, for example, hearing aids help some people with their tinnitus, but not others. And it's not known why. But if we can measure tinnitus severity, for example, before someone gets a hearing aid and afterwards, then we can better understand what's happening in the brain and why a hearing aid helps someone tinnitus but not another person.
Do we know what causes tinnitus?
The general understanding is that it starts with some form of damage to the ear, but then it gets different parts of the brain involved.
Because you'll hear from people that were in bands, or, for example, someone like myself that's worked for many years with headphones on playing loud music, you'll say, well, you know, okay, I can understand why you have tinnitus. But someone like my wife, who is a retired school teacher, she has tinnitus and it's only recently developed. And for her, some days are worse than others. But she's never been the sort of person that has walked around with, headphones on playing loud music. She's never been to loud rock and roll concerts and stood beside the speakers and all those typical things that you think of when someone says to you that they have tinnitus. Will your test be able to, I suppose, help her as to understand why she suffers from tinnitus?
So to determine the actual source, we may need, I think, more clinical examinations than just our test to determine the actual source.
Right.
But it could help provide information to a clinician that, in conjunction with other tests, they could then determine, you know, what is the source. Is it, is it related to, for example, age-related hearing loss? Is it noise exposure? Is it some other condition?
Can I ask you, how far away do you feel we are from actually having something that works that will treat tinnitus for people? Obviously, there's research currently being done on that. How far down the road are we at achieving this goal?
I think it's hard to say exactly how far. It does depend a little bit on how much funding there is available for this kind of research, because the technology is certainly there. We have, a lot of advances in artificial intelligence, machine learning techniques that can analyze these large data sets that we can get from brain imaging techniques. But how fast we can get there, I think, will depend on how much funding is available to move these projects forward.
Doctor, okay, so if through what the research and work that you're doing at the moment at the Bionic Institute in Melbourne, if I learn the severity of my tinnitus, how does that help me? How does that help me? If mine is worse than the person next to me, how does that help?
Well, it could provide a baseline that could then help when you do receive a treatment. So, for example, I mentioned hearing aids. If you try a hearing aid, we have people coming in, they say, I used my hearing aids for 2 weeks, but I don't think it was making any difference, so I stopped using it. But if we have a baseline measure that will tell us what the brain activity is like before you use a hearing aid, and then we follow that person up for, let's say, a month after use and 2 months after use, then we can better track whether there are actually changes in the brain associated with suppression of tinnitus. So whether that person should continue using the hearing aid,
right,
for example.
Doctor, how far away are we from being able to go to a clinician and have this type of test?
To have our test available, we are hoping that in the next 3 to 5 years, although that's an estimate,
right,
I can't say for sure, but at the moment the devices that we're using are research-based. So we have a lab with the imaging device and several computers, but our aim is to have it all in a single device with our software embedded that then that a clinician could easily use in their clinic. So to get to that point with enough resources, I think 3 to 5 years would be possible.
Okay, Doctor, thank you for taking some time and spending a few minutes with us this afternoon. Power to you and your team, and we look forward to following this and watching it. And we look forward
to
the day.
Thank you very much for having me.
Thank you very much, and we look forward to the day when you can actually go into a local clinician and they can turn around and A, tell you how bad your tinnitus is, but B, say, look, as a result of this test, we know how severe it is, and this is the suggestion of to what you need to do to probably not alleviate it, but to make it bearable.